I was going, how do I get this thing to stay on my face? But anyway, today was a good day. Angela and I went home, and I mean, we fell asleep. It's a good thing the alarm was set, because we were both out of it. Get all things here. I want you to see this thing here. This will mean more in a few minutes. It's pretty easy to use, isn't it? Pretty easy. Now, in Bible times, they didn't have it this easy. It was hard to get fire. But we'll get to that. You know, how many of you have heard a sermon about the 10 virgins? I mean, everybody has. I mean, I wish I could count on my hands how many times I've heard that. So I'm hoping that this will bring new light to it and not just bore you terribly. The title of this is The Lamp in You, Tend to It. Now, fellas, if you would go first, that Proverbs 31:18. It's that thing on the virtuous woman. Back in Bible times, the women, the wives, had to keep a lamp going all night long, amongst their many other chores. So we see here that it talks about this here. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. Why did they do that? Well, for one thing, light back then inside the home meant life. Someone lived there. And you also didn't want to tip over your chamber pot if you had to go to the bathroom at night. So there was reasons for the light at night. So it represented life, because thieves could come in and take, because they usually had, in those homes back then, the stable was usually on the ground floor. Upstairs were the other rooms. On the roof, they would have cooking, laundry, and such as that. And they had communal ovens. I've shown Angel an article on that. Very unique. Don't know if I'd want to eat out of the communal ovens, but it's very interesting. So that was one of their jobs, was to keep that lamp going all night long. Fellas, can you put up some of those pictures of the lamps? They weren't like the lamps we have now, where you go up to it and you press a button and it comes on. This is a Herodian oil lamp. You remember Herod? Herod, he was a king. He considered himself king of the Jews. He was involved in getting John the Baptist beheaded and the trial of Jesus. This is a Herodian oil lamp. Show some of the other lamps. Now, that doesn't look too good, does it? This is a fire stone. This is what the women use to start the fires in the home. Next one. Oh, this one you'll like. Let me read it. A pastor had dinner at the home of a couple in his church. After he left, the wife said to the husband, "I think he stole our spoon." This bothered her for a whole year. A year later, the couple had the pastor for dinner again. Unable to resist, the wife asked, "Did you steal our spoon last year?" The pastor replied, "No, I put it inside your Bible." I thought that was really something. All right, next slide. Something to keep in mind. You don't have any more? Okay, that's all right. So let's go to Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read this through. You can just follow me. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, and behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Talks about the five. First, notice that it was dark. It was midnight. And there was a procession of the virgins from their home to the holding place, and then they would go from there to the bridegroom's house. And they had to have this oil because there was no street lamps there. They didn't have them. You go to Paris, and here in town, we got street lamps, and it's pretty well lit. But back then, it was dark, very dark. Angelo took me hunting one time, and it was in a very wooded area. And the canopy was so covered and dark, you couldn't see the stars. You couldn't see the moon. I couldn't see him sitting next to me. I couldn't see the hand in front of my face. I was not comfortable, to say the least. I thought anything could happen out here, and I don't like it. Because when you're in that much darkness, you're looking for the light. And we were in that much darkness, and I was glad to get out of there. Now, he was comfortable because he's used to the woods, not me. I was expecting Bigfoot at any moment. So here's these 10 women, and they called them, one was 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. Wise means, in this particular scripture, prudent. They thought ahead. I used to tell my girls, think ahead of what's going to happen. There's always consequences to what you do. I would ask them sometimes, one in particular, I'm not going to mention her name. I said, why did you do that? She goes, I didn't think about it. I thought, well, hopefully in the near future you'll think about things. You have to stop and think about the consequences of your actions. So these foolish ones didn't think ahead to what if the bridegroom is delayed. And he wasn't delayed. He was just right on time. But the other ones thought, we might need some extra oil, so they brought it with. So they had the extra oil. Now, back then, to start a fire was quite complicated. They had these, I showed you the firestone up there. There was that firestone, and sometimes the women had these clay rods. Looked like they were thicker than pencils, but smaller than a fist, and they were long, central. And they would take and put tinder in those holes and go like this, or they would use a bow, a small bow, and work it to get the fire going. They also had communal ovens, ovens set up in their village that anyone could use. They didn't have a lot of wood back then, so they used what was available. And sometimes that was their young daughters, the youngest daughters, would go out and collect dung. Donkey dung, sheep dung, camel dung, all kinds of dung. And they would roll it in salt and then set it out to dry. And they would put that to start their fires. Because believe it or not, salt is an accelerant. It will start a fire faster. So we're the salt of the earth. We're to start a fire. We're not done, though. Let's get that clear. And I'm thinking, well, they didn't have, these were called dung ovens, no, instead of Dutch ovens, you know. But anyway, but that's how they would have these. And that was another reason for the lamps at night, because then they had fire that they could use instead of the other. So this was important. Light was very important. So they had these 10 virgins here, and the 5 foolish and the 5 wise are prudent ones. And they were ready, but the other ones weren't. So light became very important. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Here we go. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. They would sometimes take the salt and spread it on the bottom of these ovens to accelerate the fire, okay? But it would burn up, and the salt was not good for anything. So they would throw it out in the pathways. They also used salt for many things, tanning, curing their fish, seasoning, all kinds of uses for the salt. But when it lost its flavor, it gets thrown out of in the pathways. And that's why the verse says trampled underfoot, because it was a common pathway that they all used. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Back in that time, if you were a wealthy family or pretty good or middle class, you'd have a lampstand. But if you were not, you would take a basket or a bushel, flip it over, and put your lamp on that. Hence the scripture, don't hide your lamp under a basket or bushel. So see, everything in the Word is connected to the life that they lived. For instance, Mary, the mother of Jesus, took baby Jesus and laid him in a manger. And if you know, the manger is a feed trough. Listen to this. Mary took the bread of life and put him in a feed trough. You get it? For all of us. Everything is connected. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 13 through 16. There's a light in you. It says in the scripture that Jesus is working in us. Later on, we'll get to that scripture. Let's look at Leviticus 6, 12, and 13. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order, and it shall burn on it, and the fat and the peace offering and the fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Who's the temple now? We are. Is there a fire burning in you? Is there a fire burning you? Or is it going out? The five unwise virgins let their fire go out. They didn't provide the fuel for it. The fuel was not provided, so their fire went out, and they weren't ready. All right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have something working in you from God if you're a Christian. It works in you, and you have to work it out. If I was to go up to somebody, who could I say? Frank. If I went up to Frank, I could say, Frank, it looks like you're really working out. What would that mean to you? Besides me not telling the entire truth.
Yeah, I was considered a compliment.
Yeah, it would be considered a compliment that you were doing what?
That I was putting forth the effort to improve myself.
Yeah, work out. I could see some evidence that his body was improving. His muscles were getting strong. Where's my nurse at? There she is. Brenda, what happens to muscles if you don't use them? It's a word that starts with A.
Atrophy.
Atrophy. You start wasting away. Your muscle starts wasting away if you don't use it. And then you get to look like me. So you have to use what God's given you or you'll suffer atrophy. You have to work it out. Inside of you is a gold mine. His name is Jesus. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you had a gold mine and you just left it there, would it do you any good? What do you got to do with the gold?
Mine it out.
Work it out. Same thing with the Lord. You have to let him work in you and out of you. In you and out of you. So you got this fire in you. And you're precious in his sight. John 3:3. You know, last time that I ministered, we talked about think before you speak. This time, I want you to work it out. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You must be born again. In order to have the Holy Spirit working in you, you have to be born again, or you can't see the kingdom of God. Okay, if you have this fire in you, how do you work it out? Okay, that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is simple conversation. It's like me talking to Angelo. It's a little deeper than that, but it's just conversation, getting to know your Savior and being in that communication with him all the time. And that is one of the ways that you grow and that you work out this fire. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. doing God's will. Sometimes, and Kelly mentioned this early this morning, we don't do what we know we should do. But we know what we do what we know we shouldn't do. It's a bad place to be. Bad place to be. The good place is to be in His will and do what He has for you to do.
Amen.
The Word. The Word is so important. It is what lights our way. Look, Psalm 119, verse 105. You remember the lamp I was telling you about? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It shows you where to go, which way to take. It's the path for you. It's a light to your feet. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in the absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And this is the 13. People know that 12 really good. But here's what I want you to see. For it is God who works in you, both to will to do for His good pleasure. You can't work out something unless you have something working in you. Makes sense, doesn't it? If I didn't have muscles or bones, I would just be a blob here, just laying on the ground, no support system, no skeletal system, just an amoeba. Okay? God works in you so He can work out of you. And here's the thing, lots of us resist what God has for us to do, or allowing Him to change us. Galatians 5, 24 and 25, last place for tonight. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. You have a fire inside of you. You have a lamp inside of you. You know, I'm so thankful I don't live back then. Can you imagine every day getting up and knowing you have to start a fire and you have to get this tablet or this wood? They had several ways to do fires. They could use the flint and steel, or they could use friction. But you had to be pretty good at starting fires or go out and get you some done. Now, but here we say, we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It becomes important to let the Holy Spirit work in you and out of you, that you have this light, this gold mine inside of you. And you want to, of course, reap the benefits of it. Right? So that when you need Him, He's there for you. Let me tell you, when you go through some trials, it's important to have Him on your side. You know? I remember one time I was stepping down. This is when my back was really bad. And we've got a little lip from one of our rooms to the other room. And I just simply stepped down off that lip. And I was in excruciating pain through my whole body. I just stood there and wept. The whole time I'm thinking, You're with me. You're with me, Jesus. It's important for you to know when you go through a trial that He's with you. He's in you. He's working out of you. You're letting your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Remember that woman that's tending her lamp in Bible times. She's not a wealthy woman. She flips over her bushel. She sets her lamp up there. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm present. Same for you. You want to close or something? Nope. Okay. Kelly, can you come pray?
Praise God. In the last several years, I've seen my wife